all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, America. Welcome to Veterans Radio. We're very excited today on this program. It's all about benefits, benefits, benefits. And we've got guests in the studio. We're going to have you on the phone, I hope, at some point. So get a piece of paper and pencil and get ready to write down this information, because if you are a veteran or a member of a veteran's family, the things we're going to be talking about today are very, very important. They could be very helpful to you, and we want to make sure of that. So that give us a call here on the program at 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. Or toll free is 844-838-1600. That's 844-VET-1600. We've got a lot of events going on today, or coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to introduce my little audience in here, and I'm sure that they're going to add to my list of events. So directly to my right, which you can't see, is Jim Falzone, founder of Legal Help for Veterans and partner here on Veterans Radio. Good morning.
Hi, Dale. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. In the middle is his wife, Brigadier General Carol Ann Falzone, retired, who is a veterans advocate extraordinaire. Good afternoon, Carol Ann.
Good afternoon, Dale. Thank you kindly.
Okay. And to my left is Disabled American Veterans commander, or a former commander, Jim Dempsey.
Good afternoon, Dale.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I want to start off with a couple of announcements, as I said, and then we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back. So write down your questions if you have any out there for them. I think we could probably answer pretty much anything that's going to come into your head today. The first event that's coming up on a local basis is the Vietnam Veterans Picnic is coming up on August 2nd. That's a couple of weeks from now, on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. This is the VFW Post 423, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Is hosting a picnic for all Washtenaw County area Vietnam veterans. It's the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War, and so they want to celebrate this and honor all of the Vietnam veterans, and it's going to be held at the VFW Post 423 on, let's see, it's 3230 South Wagner Road, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Vietnam veterans and their families are all welcome. There's going to be Vietnam memorabilia there. We've got our helicopter all displayed and ready to go. It's going to have its little biography will be posted up on it. For more information, you need to get a hold of the dog man. You need to get a hold of Vance McCrum. And Vance's number is 734-439-1606. That's 734-439-1606. Or you can email Vance at dogman2@reagan.com. Boy, where did Reagan get in there? Dogman2@reagan.com. Actually, it's a company he works for. It's reagan.com. Dogman2, he said they don't need any volunteers, but they do need to know how many people are going to come. So grab your neighbors. You know, if you have a Vietnam veteran living near you, say, hey, let's go to a picnic on Sunday, August 2nd. And it sounds like a good idea. Maybe we'll try to do something after the picnic on our program from down there. Vietnam veterans, go to the picnic. The second thing is that I had the privilege of going to a meeting on Friday, I believe it was, of the Southeast Michigan Veteran-Owned Business Roundtable. And this is a great opportunity for any of you veterans out there. It doesn't make any difference what conflict that you were involved in. But they're very, very helpful in finding funding for you, helping you put together business plans, helping to get your business off the ground. They have lots of different ideas, but they actually have a fundraiser. They're also coming up on August 14th is their second annual golf tournament on Gros Isle. And for those of you that don't know, Gros Isle was an air station during World War II, and many pilots learned how to fly off of Gros Isle. So that is August 14th. And for more information, you can just go to the veteran-owned business roundtable.org, I believe it is. Yes, that's it. VeteranRoundtable.org, and click on events. That looks like a fun afternoon. You had something else that was coming up on the 14th.
Yeah, I have a couple of them for you, Dale. And actually, we know the folks at the Veterans Business Roundtable. It's a great way to network. So even if you're a business owner, you've up and running a little bit, it's a great way to meet other businesses owned by veterans and then network either so that you can buy their products or sell to them products, and maybe they can point you in a direction or know somebody at a customer you're trying to get in at. So it's a real good organization because they're a highly successful businessman, and I'd encourage folks to look at it. I want to pass along a few things. One is there's an upcoming drop-dead date of August 7th. If you are a veteran in need of some assistance on mortgage help, the Michigan Veterans Homeowners Assistance Program, which received a whole bunch of money through the National Mortgage Settlement a few years back, closes its application period on August 7th. So if you are looking for some help on your mortgage, maybe back taxes, those sorts of things, you may be entitled to receive some funding through the Michigan Veteran Homeowners Assistance Program. You can call Tom Diaz at 517-284-5296 to get further information. And I think that's a benefit for veterans a lot of us may not know about. So
I was not aware of that one.
I want to pass along another August 14th event. If you golf in the morning, you can go to this in the evening. On August 14th from 6 to 8 p.m., in recognition of the 70th anniversary of World War II, the Yankee Air Museum, in conjunction with the Norwegian Historical Society, is having a program in Westland, Michigan, at the Jefferson Barnes Community Center. It is from 6 to 8 p.m. on August 14th at 32150 Dorsey Road. That's where the center is. I'm sure that there's a notation of this up on the Yankee Air Museum site of events. So
that's kind of cool. And as my question was earlier, where is Norwegian?
So Norwegian was is in Westland, Michigan. It's a section of Westland, Michigan, which is east of Ann Arbor, south of Plymouth, if you will, where homes were built by the government to house the workers who comprised the workforce at the Willow Run facility through the war effort. So these were homes put up by the government in pretty quick order. Actually, the first African-American to ever have a mortgage in Michigan got a home in Norwegian because it was a government program and they were allowed to take mortgages out on those homes. Okay. So it's a very historical area that is trying to recognize its roots and participate in this national 70th anniversary celebration on August 14th.
Well, I know that they're looking also for World War II veterans and Rosie the Riveters, if they can find those, to come on down to this celebration. And that would be a great idea. What was that woman's name that was just at the White House, 110-year-old?
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, they're looking for World War II veterans and their spouses because they've got stories to tell. And that's what this whole thing is about. We'll keep these stories alive, and they'll never go away. Speaking of the Yankee Air Museum segue, the Thunder Over Michigan is coming up on August 29th and 30th at Willow Run Airport. And there are going to be planes, and the Blue Angels are going to be there. That's a Navy demonstration team. They're going to be flipping upside down and all these weird things that people can do in jets. And there's going to be barnstorming. There's going to be World War II reenactments. There's going to be helicopters. There's going to be all kinds of airplanes, vintage aircraft from World War II and beyond. So come on out to the Yankee Air Museum, and that's on August 29th and 30th. You can find more information for that at yankeeairmuseum.org.
Two more quick ones. August 18th, Congressman Dave Trott is having a roundtable with veterans in Milford, Michigan. You can get more information by calling
248-528-0711. The event will start at 7. It's basically an evening to come and bring your paperwork, find out about, once again, Dale, what benefits are available to you mm-hmm. and your spouse for some of those areas that you might qualify.
Right. Well, we're going to be talking more about that as we go along.
And my final one is never too early to start promoting the Veterans Summit that Legal Help for Veterans organizes with the Canton Community Foundation. This year it's on Saturday, October 3rd from 8 a.m. to 12 noon. It is going to be at Schoolcraft College, a new venue in Livonia. And we're trying to draw in more of the younger vets, so If you don't want to come and listen to the panels on education or the panels on employment or the panels on being engaged in your community as a young vet, where we have folks like the IAVA involved, the Team Red, White, and Blue involved, Michigan Health Fitness Organization involved, at least come for the craft beer and barbecue that we're ending this thing with. So, again, you'll hear more about that as it approaches.
Okay. And a final event that I wanted to bring up is very close to my heart. And if many of you know who have been listening to this program over the last 13 years, my good friend Ray Schrader passed away last year. He was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. In fact, he was my a barracks partner in as we went through flight school and everything all together, and remained a good friend of mine up until he passed away. But the first annual Ray Schrader Memorial Fluke Tournament is coming up in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. And it is a fishing tournament. And it is going to be next week, July 25th, 2015. It's sponsored by the Point Pleasant Elks Club. It is their 21st annual fluke tournament. I don't even know what a fluke is.
It's a fish.
I know it's
a fish.
I flew up there. I knew that there was a fish. I just, flounders. I understand that. But there are all kinds of cash prizes and stuff, you know, to go along with this. For more information, go to the Point Pleasant Elks Club website, pointpleasantelks.com, and you'll find all the information for this. I think it would be really great if we could just surprise the Schrader family with a number of veterans coming out of the woodwork in South Jersey to go over there and say hi. You know, this is for Ray, and it's very important to the family that we get people to show up. So there's all kinds of prizes and things that you can win. And if you'd like to go fishing, this is why I was not in the Navy, because I would have gotten seasick.
Well, and we've done a number of shows, Dale, on the benefits of outdoor recreation for veterans.
That's right. That's what
so
we're talking about.
Fluke fishing, tell your spouse or whoever's telling you you can't go. It's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic.
And the doctor orders it.
Hey, also, Ray's son, Kevin, is now running Schrader Yacht Sales. There's a $5,000 bonus if you land the winning fluke and you catch it on a boat purchased at Schrader Yacht Sales. So there you go. All right.
Perfect.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back talking about all of your benefits out there. So again, 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
Attention, veterans. The DAV, Disabled American Veterans Department of Michigan, is an organization of veterans helping vets. They understand all injuries are not visible, like PTSD, depression, and anxiety. The DAV, Disabled American Veterans Department of Michigan, are here to help veterans integrate back into civilian life by providing free programs that address overall health and well-being. There is no age or gender requirements. If you're a vet, you and your family qualify for these free programs. Get help today. Don't let pride get in the way. To speak with a representative, visit mi-dav.org.
Conway Truckload honors the service of American military men and women with an apprenticeship program that allows veterans to use the GI Bill to supplement their income during their first year driving, as well as tuition reimbursement when they begin. Conway Truckload wants to continue the tradition of service right here at home. To learn more, call 866-WORK-FOR-US or visit online True2blue.com/military.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Well, you shuffle to the left, shuffle to the right. Shuffle down the circle till your head feels light. Shuffle down the hall till you see the sign. In your back where you started, that's the end of the line. Do the VA shuffle.
VA shuffle.
VA shuffle.
VA shuffle.
That was Michael J. Martin. And Michael J. Martin is a good friend of Veterans Radio. He's been on our program numerous times, and unfortunately Michael J. Passed away last year. So we wanted to honor all the music today that is played is going to be Michael J. Martin. And you can go to Michael J. Martin and you can find all of his albums and so forth. They're really, you know, very powerful songs. And in fact, he was in the studio here at WAAM. Anyway, we're going to be talking about benefits today, and right now I want to introduce Jim Dempsey from the Disabled American Veterans to tell us a little bit about what the DAV does. So, Jim, you got your 15 seconds of fame here.
14 and 13. Good afternoon. Yeah, I just finished up last month serving as the active state commander, department commander for the Disabled American Veterans. DAV in Michigan, we have just over 26,000 members right now. And we had a very successful conference up in Sault Ste. Marie. We've been going up there early June for the last several years. And our main purpose is to serve veterans primarily in the state of Michigan. And we're trying to educate them, make them aware of what their benefits are. And we're one of the premier organizations to assist veterans with their disability claims and entitlements that they have to VA benefits, trying to educate them. And we have, in Michigan right now, we have about one-third of all of our veterans have actually made contact and sought services through the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many more folks out there, and I'm sure that many who are listening today that have thought for the last 5, 15, or 25 years, I wonder if I'm entitled to anything. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in with national service officers that we have in our office in downtown Detroit on Michigan Avenue in the Federal Building. And we also have about a dozen folks that are out in the field around the state of Michigan, including the UP, who are out there predominantly at VA facilities to assist veterans in finding out what those benefits are. One way we differ from most of the other veterans organizations is that most of our chapters do not have their own buildings. We don't spend the money on that. We try to put our money and our resources into assisting veterans. We have a transportation network, the DAV Transportation Network. We provide vans around the state, not every place, but we have over a dozen vans, and we provide free transportation to most of the VA facilities within the state. So that's our primary mission.
Okay, I was going to ask you if you I don't know if you know this off the top of your head or not, but I was looking at a number here where they were talking about the number of veterans. Here we go. Number of veterans in Michigan is somewhere around 725,000. Is that low? Come forward. This
about,
is Carol Ann Falzone, right?
About 660,000 this year is what's they're registering, Dale, and that number is declining over the past several years. And alluding back to what Jim was indicating, and of that 660,000, I think there's something like 17% that have disability, obtained the disability ratings in mm-hmm. Michigan, and then only 13% of all of those are enrolled in the healthcare system. So 13% is nothing. So that we have a lot of ways to go up mm-hmm. and talk about these benefits and opportunities for our veterans.
Okay. Well, Carol Ann, I got to take this time right now to introduce you. You are a retired Brigadier General in the United States Air Force Reserves.
Air Force, and then Michigan's Air National
Guard. I get those all confused. But all right, so now you have become a known as a veterans advocate, and you are doing a lot of programs around the area, especially talking about the benefits that these men and women are entitled to, not just this generation, but going back as long as they've ever served that are still around.
Well, during my period of serving, I was very fortunate to be selected and to be the Assistant Adjutant General for Veterans Affairs here in Michigan. And just to give you a little background, in 2003 when I went in, we had close to 1 million veterans. I think it was like 998,000. And now we're down to 660,000. So I gained more of an awareness with the VA and working with the VA and partnering with great veteran service organizations like DAV. You know, there's others, VFW, American Legion, Purple Heart, the Marines, Paralyzed mm-hmm. Veterans in Michigan. And And there's another entity, the Michigan County Counselors. Mm-hmm. And so there's different groups out there that I've engaged with over the years. And then upon retirement in 2011, started this because I believed I wanted to go out and continue that education for our veterans. There are so many opportunities that individuals do not even know for them and their families what they're entitled to.
Okay. Well, let's kind of get to start. We got about 5 minutes before we have to take a quick little break to the news. But so I'm just discharged, and I'm this is kind of an open question. Whoever wants to jump in first. So I'm just discharged. What do I need to know? What's the first thing I need to do?
So I'm going to jump in because we tell this at every Veterans Summit, and I think Jim and Carol Ann will both agree, and that is start by enrolling in VA health care, and Jim worked at for DAV at the VA hospital in Ann Arbor dealing with a lot of claims. But it starts with enrolling, and we have some problems in getting people enrolled because they easily get discouraged or get turned away. So I'll leave it, one of the other guys hit it out of the park.
As we know with our song, you know, sometimes you feel like in some VA hospitals, you feel like you are getting the VA shuffle. Mm-hmm. You know, the next thing you go in the front door, by the time you're done talking to people, you're going out the back door and you never got a chance to find out what's going on. We're very fortunate, I think, here in the Ann Arbor area not to run into all those problems, but they did have some things. Okay, so you go to the VA hospital, and what's the first thing that you should do?
Well, in Ann Arbor, we're fortunate now to have several veteran service organizations represented. We have what they call department service officers. These are folks that can work any place in the state of Michigan. They're in a paid capacity from the veterans organizations. They are accredited through the VA. That's mm-hmm. The big difference between they and a volunteer. They have passed and been certified to write disability claims for veterans. We assist veterans. We research the situation, find out if they have an appropriate discharge on their DD-214.
That's the main thing. Everybody mm-hmm. who gets out of the service gets a DD-214, yep. whether right. it's honorable or dishonorable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, so everybody's correct. Got a DD-214. Go find it.
Mm-hmm. I'm working actively right now with a veteran who has completed treatment through the Eisenhower Center of Ann Arbor.
It's a rehab.
Right. And they have a place, they have a farm, a treatment facility down near Manchester, down in 52, mm-hmm. South of Chelsea. Helping this young man who is from California, he was a Marine, served 3 years, but because of his discharge, he was put out with a less than honorable, a general discharge under other than honorable conditions. He's not currently eligible for his benefits. Okay. He has 2 Army Commendation Medals plus a Purple Heart. And he was put out for a few reasons, and it was not fair to this individual, so I'm actively working with him right now, and that's one of the key things is there are many, many veterans out there who can be assisted by the veteran service mm-hmm. organizations in upgrading their discharges.
I was just going to say, is that something that you guys get involved with?
The VSOs are primarily involved in the discharge upgrades.
As well as the county counselors.
Yeah.
But
you got about 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just to remind everybody out there that, as Jim Dempsey was pointing out, that there are VSO veteran service officers are all over the state. There are people from the Vietnam Veterans of America, the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV, the Paralyzed Veterans, and, of course, I don't know if every county has a veteran service office, but, again, in Washtenaw County, we're very fortunate to have a good one. And so you can talk to any of these men and women, and they will help you at least get started in the process. And so we want to encourage you to do that.
I want to go back to the enrolling and talk about to get it, because there's a health care silo at VA, there's a benefits, disability benefits silo, there's a burial benefits silo, and getting into one doesn't mean it gets you into the other one. Mm-hmm. So for your health care consideration, go there, take your DD-214, and walk in the door and say, I want to enroll. And if they tell you you make too much money to enroll, say, that's not true. Every veteran can enroll. Whether or not you can get services is a second question, mm-hmm. but it all starts with enrolling, and you should enroll because circumstances in life change over time,
as do
your income.
As does your income, because the market goes up and the market goes down, and many of these pension plans are going away these days. So we've got less than a minute, so I'm going to take over here and take a break. We're going to be going to the news, and then when we come back, we want you to call us, ask us your questions. Otherwise, we're going to talk about things that may not be important to you. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. Call us, 734-822-1600. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Platoon Sergeant Finnis McCleary continued his assault on the North Vietnamese position, although severely wounded. Details after this.
College isn't cheap. In fact, it can be downright expensive. But the Air Force has a way for you to get that college education. If you attend classes while on active duty, we'll pay up to 100% of your tuition. And you could have more than $35,000 for school waiting for you through the GI Bill. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on to airforce.com. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force and this station.
A combined force was assigned the mission of assaulting a reinforced company of well-entrenched North Vietnamese Army regulars. As McCleary led his men up the hill and across an open area to close with the enemy, his platoon and other friendly elements were pinned down by heavy fire coming from the fortified enemy positions. Realizing the severe damage that the enemy could inflict on the combined force, McCleary rose from his sheltered position and began a one-man assault on the bunker complex. He moved across 60 meters of open ground as bullets struck all around him and rockets and grenades literally exploded at his feet. As he came within 30 meters of the key enemy bunker, McCleary began firing furiously from the hip and throwing hand grenades. At this point in his assault, shrapnel painfully wounded him, but with complete disregard for his wounds, he continued his advance on the key bunker and killed all of its occupants. Having successfully and single-handedly breaching the enemy perimeter, he climbed to the top of the bunker he had just captured, and in full view of the enemy, shouted encouragement to his men to follow his assault. As the friendly forces moved forward, McCleary began a lateral assault on the enemy bunker line. He continued to expose himself to the intense enemy fire as he moved from bunker to bunker, destroying each in turn. He was wounded a second time by shrapnel as he destroyed and routed the enemy from the hill.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. There are thousands of veterans still living on the streets of our nation. Please support Veterans Matter. Your donation can help house a veteran in minutes and prevent another from losing their home. Donate at veteransmatter.org or text VETS to 41444 to make a donation of any amount. Let's all help Veterans Matter take care of our own. Thank you.
I was rolling down the highway in this beat-up truck of mine, running close to empty, looking for a sign. Found a truck stop finally, had a U.S. flag a-flying, but a gallon of this gasoline was $4.99.9. We get gouged, we get screwed.
We're back on Veterans Radio, again listening to our friend Michael J. Martin. We get gouged, we get screwed. Corporations, anyway. We won't go into that one. But, all right, we just during the break we were talking about gathering our records together once we get out of the service. But also it's important, Carol Ann, I'm going to let you jump in on this one. that we get our records together before we get out of the service.
Well, as a nurse, it was really important that you make sure the information is documented when you're having that last physical exam, when you're going through an MEB process, medical evaluation board process, that you have all of those records and you have your documented files with you, along with that DD-214, which tells your story. And if that form, you need to look at it, because I've seen people have wrong Social Security numbers, they do not have their awards on there, their period of service isn't correct, and then that will promote these issues of not being able to get your benefits and mm-hmm. delayed. And so then when you go to see Jim Dempsey, say at DAV or one of the other service officers, they're having to go through this hurdle. So try to be vigilant when you're looking at your records and try to get all your records mm-hmm. when you're leaving.
Well, Jim Falzone, you mentioned earlier that there are these three avenues that you can take at the VA. Number one is to get the health care, and we've already talked about that. So you go in and you sign up and you get registered, and whether your income qualifies you or not, you got your card. And plus, you can use that when you go to some restaurant to get a discount. The other thing is that the benefits, and that's where Legal Help for Veterans comes in.
That's correct.
Part two.
Right. So, yeah, that area is where the space that Legal Help for Veterans works in. We started about 17 years ago. Back then, you could not have a lawyer involved in a case until it was on its way to the Court of Veteran Appeals, and that's where we were doing our work over time. The laws changed a little bit. The needs changed a little bit. And I sort of view it as we're complementary to what the veteran service organizations and the county counselors do. We help develop disability cases once the VA has sort of said no, whether it's no at the regional office level and it's moving on to the Board of Veteran Appeals, or the Board of Veteran Appeals, the BVA, has said no and it's moving on up to the court in Washington, D.C. So over time, it started out with, well, here's just, you know, you asked earlier, well, how did it start? Like these things always do. Hey, there's just this one thing. Can you help this guy out? Mm-hmm. And one thing leads to the next, and the next thing you know, you've got 14 or 15 people who work in this area at Legal Help for Veterans down. That's all they do is work with veterans across the country. Most of them actually are from outside the state of Michigan on disability claims. Only about 17% of veterans have a service-connected disability. So there tends to be a little bit of overplay on this issue. Sometimes you think, well, everybody comes back from the service disabled. That's mm-hmm. BS, right? Our media, our TV shows kind of they seem never to show a veteran who comes back who's a normal guy.
Right. Yeah. Always have issues of some sort.
Right. So, you know, I think if you scope this out a little bit by the numbers, it's only about 17% that have a service-connected disability, and only 5% of that group have ratings in the 70 to 100% disability area. So, they're, you know, they're big numbers because we have, 22 million veterans, I believe, 23 million veterans across the country. So the math works out kind of big, but don't, if you're in the listening audience and you're thinking about this, just sort of size it the right way. So that's what we work on at Legal Help for Veterans, is helping folks get through the disability hurdles. Many, many claims VA does a fine job on the more obvious stuff. They're really good at some of the orthopedics, some of the mental health issues are a little more challenging. And at mm-hmm. times, the veterans we're working with have been their own worst enemy through the process, either by saying or doing stupid things which are detrimental to their claim, such as, if you're scheduled for an exam and you don't go to the exam and they schedule you again and you don't go again, do you really think the outcome is going to be very good for you?
I have a tendency to throw you out of the system.
Exactly. So, you know, we see those kind of problems mm-hmm. and have to work with folks to sometimes correct those things.
Well, what Jim Dempsey with the DAV, what would be the most common type of disability claims do you see?
I would say that probably well over half of all the claims being submitted have some, you know, currently, this over the last 5-6 years or so, do have some type of a mental health component with them, post-traumatic stress, depression, anxiety. There are a lot of orthopedic-type problems, a lot of back injuries, people hauling, especially with a lot of slight young men and women who have had to carry a rucksack that weighs 70, 80 pounds or so.
Right. And they weigh 150 pounds.
So chronic problems with the upper back, neck, migraines. A lot of problems, depending upon what time you were in during the Gulf War, related to exposures that people had over there from the burn pits, a lot of the oil fields, things of that nature. So a lot of, you know, MS issues, upper respiratory problems, seeing a very high, you know, much more significant incidence of disabilities that you would see in elderly people and debilitating type situations. But like I say, a lot of orthopedic issues and migraines and mental health are the predominant.
So if someone's having a problem or they think that they have a problem, and should they go straight to the VA or should they use their primary care physician, and the primary care physician says, you know, you have
The VA is not able to complete any of the required paperwork. Okay, that is key. That no VA staff, they can be knowledgeable, they can direct them, but they will typically direct them to go directly to the VA, which many people do, a significant portion do. Many people go online and they submit their claims now on e-benefits, which is a combined VA-DOD website. You know, that's great to do if you have the documentation, but one key asset that they don't have when they're doing that is the representation by a veteran service organization, whether it be the Legion or the DAV or Purple Heart or any of the 7 organizations that serve in Michigan that are actually funded by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency.
And, Dale, your question sets up the problem people have and goes back to the silos I talked about. You may have a VA doctor who says, boy, yeah, you've got PTSD and it's from the war effort. But that guy doesn't have – there's a different group over here in disability that you have to go through, and you have to go through that process. And his medical opinion will get carried over and be used in the disability review. But just because he says it doesn't mean it's necessarily true.
Right.
Starting with somebody like a veteran service officer who knows the system would be always the best advice. They're there. They're free. They're available. They're knowledgeable. And sometimes it's both in my legal advocacy as well as their development of claims. You have to work against what we as human beings kind of tend to do, right? So if you ask a guy how he's doing, he says, fine. When did this problem start? Oh, it's not really that bad. So, you can see how men in general and veterans in particular can go into a process and maybe give information that's not in the best format to advance their disability claim. So, again, while you may be able to put it, do it yourself on e-benefits or have the, oh, I got a buddy who knows what he's doing, he's not certified or anything, but he got his, so I can get mine, I'd really encourage you to use it.
The point I wanted to make was that many veterans don't feel that they are entitled to any benefits, or as you point out, I'm fine. You know, meanwhile, they're limping around or, you know, they get angry at nothing or they're drinking too much or they can't hear anything anymore. And, you know, they find out that it's related. So, again, we encourage people to at least look into this, into the program. You're not going to get rich on VA disability. And that was one of the questions, because it goes from, what, 10% to 100%? 10% is what, about?
$130
$130, and it doesn't go up proportionally, because at 100%, I think it's $3,000 if you're married.
It goes up proportionally up to the 90% level, and then at that point, it almost doubles.
Right. So let's suppose, because I have a nephew who is 300% disabled. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get 300% of the benefit, though.
No, mm-hmm. He gets 100%.
Right.
Yeah, they have, and as you say, you're not getting rich on this. This is the other thing that grinds me when I hear politicians or general public talk about we ought to cut these benefits or squeeze the Veterans Administration more on the disability claims. Nobody's making big money on this. This is, you don't go do this and you know, because it's going to leave you a comfortable way to live. You're going to get $36,000 a year with the dependent if you're 100%, you know. You're not buying filet mignon on that. It's just...
And again, you mentioned only 3% are...
5% are in that category of 70 to 100% disabled. So it unlike Social Security, maybe, if you want to make that argument, it's somewhat different. But here, because every body part gets rated and gets rated a percentage-wise, in Social Security, you're 100% disabled or you're not.
Okay.
That's not true in VA land,
right,
which people don't understand. You might be 10% for hearing or 20% for maxed out at hearing, 10% for tinnitus, and you got a bad elbow for another 10%.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get you to 100%, and it doesn't get you to, I guess what I would say is a very comfortable lifestyle.
But the question I wanted to ask you, Carolyn, is that, so suppose that I'm under 50%, do I get free medical care the rest of my life?
No, but it depends on the percentages, and you would get care.
For my
Yes, for that entity.
Disability.
Yes, and you would get medications and, let's say, hearing aids and devices for those entities. It's when it's greater than 50%, you become a priority one.
Okay.
I just want to, for a second, go back to something that Jim said that, yes, you could do both Jims.
She means you, Colonel Dempsey. She doesn't mean me.
No, I
mean
both Jims.
No, I always in a lieutenant junior grade.
Both Jims had outstanding information, and they are encouraging veterans to not do this themselves. These are the experts. You know, you might put in for hearing but not realize that you're a diabetic and you were exposed to Agent Orange, and Jim brought up MS and Parkinson's. Well, that might get you a full package. And if you're going to put the package in, let's put it in right the first time. If you're going to be, you know, sitting there and waiting for an answer for maybe a good year for some of these cases, even if it's ready to rate, it's still taking a period of time to get reviewed. So let's give you, the veteran, and your family the opportunity to get the best review of this package. There are some other ratings, and I think Jim Dempsey knows these really well, but Jim Fossone brought up a couple key factoids. If you're 30% or greater, you could add dependents to your rating.
What does that mean?
That means you could get additional monies. So
for
you
your,
would have
for a
to,
wife or a dependent child.
Right.
This is a great story. I've told this so many times. We just had this happen, like, within the last year. A guy who has been married for 55 years never put his wife on as a dependent with the VA. And so we're going through his appeal, and we go, we see statements from the wife to the VA. She's been talking to the VA. We said, you never put the wife on. So I didn't know I had to do that. So we fill out the form for that. The wife calls. I won't use her name or his name, but she calls and says, you mean that SOB never put me on as a dependent with the VA and we didn't get paid for all these years? I've been married to him for 55 years. I said, just because you've written letters to the VA and talked to the VA doesn't mean they're counting it that way. You got to fill out the right forms and sign them and send them in. So, yes.
That's where it's really important to have a good veteran service officer or county counselor to look over all your material and give you guidance and direction.
Well, I think that's really important. We've got 10 minutes to go, and we have so many different things. I got a hand raised here, Carol Ann.
And back with the same story. you know, Jim Fasson told you about the three silos. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to this poor wife now who found out she should have been getting monies for 55 years, I said, do not divorce him now because then you can't be buried.
We've had those questions, too. I love those questions. We get them regularly from, I divorced the son of a gun a year ago. Do I still get a piece of that at this Billy benefits? No, ma'am.
Nope.
If you were married 20 years or more
yes.
And haven't remarried.
Or the common law ones we run into. But I'll stop after this. But on the disability side, what we would tell veterans out there who are going through this process is do not give up. It's very easy to get frustrated and stop. You get letters you can't read because they're too long and too complicated. We all too often see people give up. They maybe had a year to appeal something or 60 days to appeal something, and they just freeze by inaction, miss their appellate periods, come back later and say, I want to start, you know, now I'm in a better place, I want to do this, but you have to start all over again. So don't give up. Don't lose your appeal rights. Keep the ball moving forward. It may take years, but again, that's why you need somebody helping you along the way, because the worst thing you can do is give up and have to start over.
And just recently, just to piggyback, I just learned something, and Jim Dempsey probably knows this. So a veteran came to us and said, Carol Ann, could you help and see where my claim is? It's been out there for 3 years. Through an accredited body, let's say DAV. And so I went through the process because this was a congressional request. And so I went back and I called the RO and they said, well, Carol Ann, the problem is he's not getting credit for 3 years. And I said, well, why not? The veteran has been going on to e-benefits and every couple months, he's put in a new claim for the same thing that was out there 3 years ago. So they will discard that. So please don't do that. Go back to your VSO. Go to Legal Help for Veterans. If you're, as Jim said, discouraged, you want to know what's going on, please call us. Do not be putting those claims in.
And if we were to call Legal Help for Veterans, what would be that number?
That would be 800-693-4800.
What was that again?
800-693-4800.
Okay, we've talked about health care. We've talked about disability benefits. We know that a veteran is entitled to a free burial. And if he's married or is it just a spouse, that they are entitled to both be buried in a national cemetery, correct?
Yes, but here once again becomes each person has their story. So you need a DD-214.
Right.
Active duty. If you were only in the Guard or Reserves peacetime, you are not eligible. And that's really hard. So in most circumstances, if you're on active duty, obviously the combat veterans, the Purple Heart, yes. And then your spouse. And if your veteran is deceased, you as the spouse keep the death certificate, the marriage certificate. You need the appropriate paperwork. But the answer is, depending on your circumstance.
It depends.
Well, only about 10% of veterans, of that 22 million, about 10% of those veterans will find their way to a national cemetery. So,
but I do know, I also know that many funeral homes now will remind a veteran that at least you're entitled to the plaque on your gravestone and things like that. So we've only got about 5 minutes, actually, to go. So I wanted to bring up some of the benefits of maybe, especially benefits that people may not be aware of. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the primary benefits that people are very confused about is veterans will always ask, they'll say, now, especially the Vietnam vets or older vets, they'll say, well, what happens? My wife will get my benefits, right, when I die? And I said, no. If a veteran is receiving compensation for a service-connected disability, when that veteran dies, on that date, that benefit will stop. A spouse can go in and should go in, get representation from an organization, a certified organization, And she or he would need to file for their own benefits. And they would be filing for any accrued benefits that her spouse may have had for that last month or if a claim was in. There's another benefit called DIC, Dependents Indemnity Compensation. And a lot of people call it a widow's pension. But it is not actually pension. It comes under the compensation side. But there are benefits out there for spouses. There are also benefits for spouses who are disabled. Many, many veterans are not aware of that.
No, not at all.
If your spouse cannot assist you and take care of that service-connected veteran, if their spouse has disabilities and it prevents them from performing activities of daily living, they also can be available for benefits.
I'm learning a lot here. I've got to go talk to my wife.
These guys are really smart over here to my right.
Well, and then to piggyback with Jim, if you're 70% or greater, then you've got the opportunity as a veteran and the spouse potentially to go to a veteran's state home or and receive long-term care at the expense of the VA. Now, that's mm-hmm. with a 70% to 100 disability. They don't know sometimes that that's available to them.
And that's called aid in attendance.
Aid in attendance. Speaking of aid in attendance, what about these construction things, grants we were talking about a little bit earlier? If you are, is it make any difference if you, is it 70% and over that you apply or 100% only or anybody?
It can be as low, you know, there may be veterans who are 40-50% disabled who would potentially be eligible for those grants. HISA grants, getting into your home and putting a ramp on, improving kitchen areas, bathing areas, bathroom, widening doors, things of that nature. There are a variety of grants for the home as well as adapting vehicles.
Okay, so our listeners out there, they should be going to a VSO to find out more about these things.
Yeah, yes, they should, Dale, but this is a PSA, a special announcement. The two VSOs that I would go to if you're having trouble, one is sitting to my right, Disabled American Veterans. The other one is Paralyzed Veterans of America. I swear we've got the best organization, the Michigan mm-hmm. chapter in the country. So I would just call those two for these specific issues.
Okay, we've got about a minute and a half to go. This obviously has gone really fast. So we've been talking with Jim Dempsey of the Disabled American Veterans of America, Caroline Falzone, the Veteran Advocate. You can just plug her name in and it'll show up and you'll find out everything you need to know. And Jim Falzone of Legal Help for Veterans. Is there one last maybe 20 seconds that comment that you would like to make?
I'd like to give a website out here.
Okay.
This is for we haven't talked about it today, but the Veterans Choice Program. If you're not able to receive services at your VA within a timely fashion, you know, more than 30 days or so, it's va.gov/OPA/toolkit. And that will give you eligibility information about alternatives to receiving your care at the local VAs.
Okay. All right, Jim, can they file an initial claim with you, or do they have to wait until they've heard a...
Generally, we see them after there's been a denial okay. and they've gone through a VSO. There are initial claims, which we do, but they can contact us at legalhelpforveterans.com. And I would tell all our veterans, you earned these benefits. Don't be ashamed to ask people about what it is you might need and might be entitled to.
Okay. That's it. We're going to do this again. We have to do this again. Maybe every other month or so we should do a benefits program. Jim Falzone, Legal Help for Veterans. Caroline Falzone, Jim Dempsey, DAV. Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Thank you.
Until next week, you are dismissed.